You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We are back and appreciate you being here as one more hour to go. We've had some fantastic guests, Jason Witten joining us earlier, and Stephon Gilmore, the All-Pro, former All-American from South Carolina. Let's get some more calls in here and check out Joe in Houston. Hello, Joe.
Hello, Paul. How's it going today?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Paul, I got two things to say. First of all, I think Devon Achane would have won two Heismans by now if he played behind the Georgia offensive line.
Good point. He's outstanding.
The other thing I have to say, and I'm surprised nobody talks about this. Of course, I don't watch your show every day, so maybe that's the reason I haven't seen it, but I think the Manning family is going to be sorely disappointed one day that their grandson chose TU in Austin.
Why do you think that, Joe?
Because of what the school represents, I think they're going to be very sorely disappointed with the way the whole thing turns out.
So are you talking more from a cultural standpoint than a football standpoint, or both?
I'll go ahead and say both.
Yeah, I hear you. I know what you're saying.
Nah, just wait and see. Wait and see. Let's see what the – maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I don't know, but I've seen a lot of misfits, I think they're getting ready to see one.
Well, yeah, I mean, Arch made an interesting decision there. I mean, I understand the lore of Austin. You do, too. You're not that far away, but it's different than Tennessee, and it's certainly different than Ole Miss.
Yeah, it's very different culture, very different all the way around for that family. I mean, I've watched the Book of Manning, and I've watched where they come from or what they represent, and I think they just made a bad choice. I have a different philosophy about kids getting 18 and they decide where they're going to go to school. I think mom and dad should have more input into where they should go to school than them.
Yeah, Joe, that's a real dilemma, and obviously I had no choice. You likely had no choice, but today it's especially growing up in that family where there is a lot of counsel and advice, but I'm pretty sure based on what little I know about the recruitment that they let him make his call, and he was always high on Texas, as you know.
Wow. Well, help me out here, Paul. Have y'all had much conversation about this recruitment, or am I getting to the party late? Or
no,
what's the
no.
Deal?
I mean, it was a big story. It happened in late June, and we talked about it, but it really. We haven't really concentrated on it very much because Texas is not front and center with us yet. Maybe in 2 years they will be. So I think the story is interesting, but we have not had a great deal of conversation, no.
Well, when I look at all the different schools, it just looks to me like it looks to me like there are an awful lot of good schools that they passed up to get there. And I don't, you know, what can I say? I've seen it. I've been seeing it all my life. And
I think if you go back through the family history, you know, Peyton chose Tennessee. I think he wanted to set a different course. Cooper obviously chose, Cooper is Arch's father, chose Ole Miss, and Eli did. So, you know, Peyton was the outlier, but I think that was expected. I mean, I think if he had known how good he was going to be, he may not have had as much trouble going to Ole Miss, but I think he wanted to get away from the most famous player in Ole Miss history. Hey, thank you very much for the call. It's an interesting conversation about, as we're 2 weeks away from recruiting, who should make the call. I think a lot of times families play a big role. I'm not here to Monday morning quarterback their family, but I think families like that probably maybe show a little more lead way toward the individual making it than in a conventional family when there's not so much hoopla connected to it. Let's check out Ron in Virginia. Hey, Ron. Good afternoon.
Paul, longtime caller. All of you, yourself, and all the people that work for you is second to none. And, Paul, I want to talk about, there's been a lot of talk about hot dogs. This is funny. I go to an Alabama game with my wife against Southern Georgia, Bill Curry. It's halftime, and I go to the concession stand, and I tell the young girl, and it was innocent. I had a few beers. I said, I'd like to have the biggest hot dog there is that is known to mankind. The girl started laughing. Somebody behind me said, Roll Tide. Beside that, Paul, I want to talk about the first time that the last time Ohio State played Georgia was 1993 Citrus Bowl. And you're not going to believe this. The quarterback was Kurt Herbstreit, and he threw an interception and lost. Ohio State lost 14-21. Now, Paul, if I've got time, sir, there's something important I want to talk to you about, the Heisman Trophy finalist and who started this.
Okay, sure.
And people need to know this. Yes, sir. John Heisman was born in October 23rd, 1869. He was born in Cleveland, Ohio. And this really kind of stumped me when I seen this. He was hired at Clemson to be a baseball and football coach at Clemson, which is in South Carolina, and he still has the highest percentage in school history. Now, this is crazy. The Heisman is kind of a jinx to some players, and you're going to agree with me on this, is Archie Griffith won two Heisman trophies from Ohio State. He didn't do anything, Paul, in the pro. Help me out with this, sir.
No, he didn't.
And going off on that, I think that the committee that chooses the players, the quarterback from Tennessee is excellent, and I don't know why they're letting him out. And Bryce Young from Alabama, it's not fair. And yeah, one
but
last
Ron,
thing, I gotta
I'll
let
say
this.
I'll say this again for the final time.
Yes, sir.
People vote on it. You get three votes. You don't get five. And you have to pick which three are you going to vote for. And as great as those two players are, and I considered both of them, you tend to go with whatever the last thing you saw, and that was Caleb Williams and Max Duggan and Stetson Bennett or C.J. Stroud also got in there.
Yes, sir. And one last thing. I know your time is gone, but I want to say this. There's three coaches that are going to take Nick Saban's place. Number one, Lane Kiffin. Two, Mario Cristobal. And number three, Shane Beamer. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, Cristobal was has always been a hot name. He had a terrible year, Ron, and I don't know, you know, where his stock is at the moment. I think it entirely depends on when Nick Saban retires. I think Kiffin is probably the most difficult one to handicap. But I mean, your mention of Shane Beamer is really interesting. Right now,
interesting.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot about Shane Beamer that I like. How about everything about Shane Beamer I like? So, I think we just have to know when that moment is to be able to determine who is going to get that job. We will take a break. We have another guest remaining, and we'll talk to Joel Anderson right after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hey, we are back. What an afternoon this has been as we continue here. And really looking forward to chatting again with Joe Anderson, the writer for Slate and host of the Hang Up and Listen podcast. Joe, great to see you again. We hope you've had a good year. And I know you're, as a former walk-on running back at TCU, you've got to be waving the Horned Frog flag proudly.
I just hope that you all aren't as hard on me as y'all were on Bobby Petrino. The boom, boom, boom. You know, where's the legend been all my life? But yeah, no, man, I'm having a great time. I'm excited about TCU, you know, making it to the semifinal for the first time. I mean, nobody thought this was going to happen. I would be hard pressed to even believe that Sonny Dykes would have believed it when he started in the spring. So yeah, it's a good time. Good time to be a TCU alum for sure.
Well, great. One story we haven't really devoted enough time to, I've talked about it elsewhere, but I want to talk to you about, is the really, in many ways, the biggest news of this week in college football, and that's Coach Prime, Deion Sanders, going to Colorado. I know there's some issues here, but just what was your immediate reaction when you heard that news?
Well, I mean, I think that everybody understood that it was going to be a short-term play, that he wasn't going to be there for the long haul. That's just not his makeup. You know, he pretty much told us that last year that he was going to leave, and he showed us that when he interviewed at a couple places, including TCU. I think, you know, obviously what Deion did at Jackson State is great. It may be unprecedented by some standards, because I was looking at the 24/7 Sports composite talent rating. And Alcorn State was 67th, which is remarkable. That's not just good for FCS. That's as good as some of the best Group of Five programs, right? So he did that. And also, you know, look, there's a lot more attention on Alcorn State. They won two championships. But I think the thing that makes me have a little pause about his tenure there is that he promised a little bit more than that. Like when you say that you're going there as a mission to elevate Jackson State, HBCUs, Black college football as a whole, and you're in there for 2.5 years, it leads some people to question, why? Well, what did you build there that will last? And that's the question I have as much as anything. Obviously, Deion has the right to go to Colorado. I think he's going to do a very good job there. The money is obviously right. It's an opportunity that would not have been presented to him otherwise. I mean, I don't, you know, there's some other places that had talked about hiring him and didn't pull the trigger. So he got his opportunity. But I think the more important thing is, did he deliver on everything that he said that he would? And if you look at it in terms of anything outside of what happened on the field, then maybe you have some questions about his departure from there.
And Joe, I realize your job here is to give your opinion, not to judge the rest of the media, but you know, as being part of the rest of the media, it does seem like we've all collectively just you know, given him, you know, tremendous praise, you know, very little what I would call objective commentary, as if it had been somebody else. And I'm curious, because you're taking a different look at it than many other people, although there's been one or two. If I could get you to comment on the narrative around Deion Sanders as well as what you've already said, I'd be curious.
Well, okay. I think Deion Sanders was the perfect coach for the perfect moment. He arrived at college football at a time when roster makeover is as frictionless as ever before, so he could quickly remake his roster. He could even bring in his own son from South Carolina. You had the start of the NIL agreements, which is an increasingly important part of the recruitment process. And I think the context that is sort of lost in this is that Deion showed up at Jackson State in the wake of the George Floyd murder, when people started talking and thinking about making a sort of different commitment to Black America and HBCU institutions. And so, I mean, look, people can say that Deion is responsible for this renewed interest in HBCUs, that it got a spotlight that it never had before. That might be true of the football program, but one thing to consider is that in the last few years, while undergraduate students have dropped by, you know, I think it's like 10% during the pandemic, applications at HBCUs are up by as much as 30%. The things that were going on at HBCUs, the energy, the enthusiasm for them, was already happening. And Deion landed there at a real prime time. Prime time. I did not intend to steal prime time thing, I promise you.
That's okay.
So, look, I mean, I would be a fool to say that Deion didn't exceed, I think, everybody's wildest expectations. Like, this is... Very few people had come from where Deion did. He was a high school coach, moved up to a college coaching job, and to succeed at the rate that he did. Like, nobody could have thought it would have happened. And if it did happen, people probably thought, well, man, there's going to probably be some NCAA investigations, or there's going to be some trouble following. That did not happen. He did everything that he said he was going to do on the field. So I wouldn't take that away from him. But I also think that the narrative around Deion is that he did something that is just not true, which is that he brought shine to HBCUs that is not otherwise there. He brought shine to Jackson State. Jackson State surely has been in the spotlight and been in the news and had an opportunity to host a game, host College Game Day. But HBCUs were already on the rise. They're already getting a lot of attention. There's a lot of renewed interest in them. I mean, you can go back to, you know, Makur Makur, the top basketball recruit who signed with Howard a few years ago. Mikey Williams, a top basketball prospect who talked about, oh, I might go to HBCUs. He ultimately didn't. He signed to go to Memphis. But this has been in the motion for a while. Deion's not responsible for that, even though he would like a lot of people to believe that he is.
Joe Anderson with us, the writer for Slate. He's the host of Hang Up and Listen podcast. On that subject, I was watching him the other day, and I had mixed feelings. I knew what he was doing, but he... It was about Deion. That's part of who he is and what he sells. But it was to others pretty insulting to the team that he inherited. I'm particularly interested in your thoughts on that.
Yeah, you know, I did think that was really uncomfortable. So, as somebody who's covered college football, I was at TCU when Dennis Franchione took over for Pat Sullivan, the Auburn great, and people understand that these coaching changes are going to involve a lot of hard decisions. There's going to be some people who are going to get run off, that a coach is going to bring in their guys. But I thought that it was really humiliating and condescending to those kids to say, well, I'm bringing my own luggage and it's Louis. I want to make you quit. Some of y'all are not going to be here. I mean, we understand that those things happen, but sometimes I think we get a little numb to how kids are treated in this situation. Like if this is just a transaction, if this is just business, if this is just, Deion is an employer and the players are employees, fine. But that's not what Deion says he is. I expect more of him because that's what he said that we should expect, that he treats these boys with respect, that he's going to look out for them and all that other stuff. I don't think recording that introductory meeting, embarrassing them and putting it out in the way that he did through his own production company is looking out for them. I didn't see something in that moment that made me feel inspired. Obviously, I'm different. There are a lot of other people that looked at that, and I've listened to a lot of podcasts, watched a lot of shows, and the people that thought that Deion was magnetizing. And I guess that's sort of the fundamental divide here, right? There are a lot of people that say, man, Deion's so real. That's great. He gave it to him. You know, he's bringing some energy, enthusiasm, and told them that they're not going to accept losing like that anymore. I looked at it and I thought about those kids in that seat because I've been there. And I thought, man, is that what college football actually is? I mean, we know that it's what it is, but people try to tell us that it's not all the time. But if it's that, then let's just say that. And if Deion is just going to be any other FBS head coach, fine. But that's not the standard you told us to hold you to.
I'm going to try not to bring you into another cultural phenomenon, Stephen A. Smith here, but I was on with him the other day. and he made a very compelling case for Deion, and especially why Auburn didn't hire him. They hired Hugh Freeze, who right. obviously is on the rehabilitation tour comeback after getting slammed and fired for who knows what else other than calling an escort service and seeing his team go on NCAA probation. But
strange things happen in Tampa, man.
Yeah. I don't mean to narrow the box here, but I do think it was an interesting point. I mean, Hugh Freeze is having to sell himself. Deion Sanders doesn't have to sell himself. Just on the fact that I realize he's at Colorado, but the fact that others did not hire him is where I'm going here.
It is interesting. And my understanding, what I heard is that Auburn was a little unsure about how Deion ran its program and they went with somebody a little bit more traditional. obviously, if we're going to stack up the background checks on these dudes, I mean, obviously, unless there's something that we're missing about Deion, it should not have been close. But I mean, I guess what I'm thinking about is that Hugh Freeze has demonstrated that he could beat Nick Saban, that he won in the SEC West before. He's familiar with it, did fairly well at Liberty. Maybe they thought that was a safer play and that, you know, maybe their boosters would rally around him, whereas Deion might be a little bit more polarizing. Now, why would he be more polarizing? There are a lot of reasons for that. Some of them that I might agree with and others that I might not. But yeah, I think that Deion got a job. It does say something that a guy who was as successful at the FCS level as he was, 26-5, at a program that had not had a lot of success in the last few years, and that he didn't really get a serious look at some of those other places. It is interesting, but I think that there are reasons for that. I don't think it's a one-for-one. And I think that, you know, Deion took a job. Allegedly, he had the opportunity to take Cincinnati or South Florida, which I thought both of those might have been a better fit. He's the one that chose the worst program in the Power Five, not anybody else. And maybe those were the only opportunities thrown at him, and we just don't know anything else about it. But you know, I think that he seems to be happy at Colorado, and Auburn is never happy. So I don't know if that happened with Hugh Freeze or not, but we'll find out soon enough.
True statement. Many true statements from Joel Anderson. Joel, thank you very much. We always enjoy this. This is very rich for us, and we hope to see you again very soon.
Of course, my pleasure. Go Frogs.
You got it. Joel Anderson, the former walk-on at TCU, spitting out some truth about Deion in Colorado. We'll take a break. 30 minutes remaining. Your phone calls are next.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back, and AJ is up next. Final 30 minutes of the week. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
Hey, it's off topic, but do you remember the guy that led the cult that talked that he had taken his congregation or followers over to another country and had talked them into
Jim Jones.
Jim Jones, how about that? It was Jim Jones, Jim from Tuscaloosa Jones.
This was about 40 years ago, wasn't it?
It was Jim.
I don't know if
like
Jim was
legend
born
said,
then.
It was Jim. Everything's Jim. You know, he owns the
Ghana?
Show.
I can't remember where they were. Yeah, Ghana. Yeah.
But let me.
Guyana.
Let me
Guyana, well, not
I
Ghana.
Yeah, Guyana. Yeah, I would behoove you not to physically meet Jim from Tuscaloosa.
Well, I don't mind meeting him. I just I'm not sure I'm gonna if he offers me a drink if I'm taking it. I think that was the issue
exactly.
with Jim Jones's congregation. Exactly. I think they sipped. What were they drinking? Cyanide or something? Yeah.
Yeah, it was something. They were going to go to heaven and all that, and they woke up dead.
Yeah, no, I'll be happy to talk to him, but if he says, "Hey, I got you a free drink here."
Well, I tell you what, I speak for all of Feinbaum Nation on behalf of Feinbaum Nation. I'll be the representative tonight, and I will say that the most compelling thing about Jim's calls is when he hangs up, Paul. It's just a fact. We'd love to hear him hang up. We don't love to hear him call, but you know that's my opinion, and I appreciate you letting me get it out there. Him and J.K. both, the most compelling thing about their calls is when they hang up. Hey, let me ask you a question about Nick Saban. If Nick loses to Kansas State,
right,
regardless of what his roster looks like, could we just say that the dynasty window has closed and we could, in your opinion, with the proverbial nail would it be proper for the nail in the proverbial coffin to be hammered in to the dynasty?
Well, I don't think a game like that is going to be a defining moment. I mean, it would be embarrassing in all candor. You could easily alibi it, considering we still don't know whether the best player. But yeah, I think it will take more than a bowl loss to finish Coach Saban off. I think he's okay. Jim would like to respond to that.
Why do you let a fool like that on there, Paul? I think that's outrageous.
Jim disappeared there, so what can I tell you? Tommy is up next. Hey, Tommy.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We are doing
love
great.
Your show.
Thank you.
You know, everything's great down here in Largo. Oh, and Jim's an idiot, by the way. But anyway, I'm just sitting here telling you I'm sick of the Auburn so-called fans talking about. Are you hanging up on me?
No, I haven't touched the button at all.
Okay. It's because they're hanging. Wait, they're talking bad things about Auburn, man, and I love Cadillac. He was the real deal But he would have won the job had he not gone for two with 13 minutes left in the third quarter. And
no. I mean, Tommy, he was not. That did not cost Cadillac the job. I mean, are you serious?
No, because he would have been bowl eligible. Okay. It would make people look at it.
No. Going 6-6 was not going to get Cadillac the job. I don't think he was ever going to get the job.
He would have been bowl eligible.
So what?
I mean, I love Cadillac, man. I'm glad he's with the program. And by the way, Merry Christmas to Tammy's family. Amen, brother.
Richard is up next. Hey, Richard.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you for the call.
Good. One of my concerns that I wanted to talk about was the role that gambling now is playing in college sports, especially football. Somebody won a ton of money on the Kansas State-TCU game. TCU was a heavy favorite. And anybody that...
Hold on a second, Richard. They were not a heavy favorite. Kansas State was favored in the game by 1 point.
I didn't catch that unless they changed it the last minute.
It was always a pretty much a pick'em game. I think Kansas State went to a 1 point favorite at kickoff.
Okay. I didn't catch that part of it then.
Okay.
But there's calls that are being made by refs that are very questionable. Now the way TV is covering the games, we can see things that people,
Let me cut to the chase here in the spirit of time. What are you suggesting here?
We need to check some of these referees and make sure that somebody checks their bank accounts.
Well, first of all, I will defend referees from this regard, Richard. Every single official at a major conference, and I'll speak primarily about the SEC. I know more about that than the others, but the others are similar. They have FBI checks. They have extensive backgrounding. They go through a rather rigorous physical test before they can get the job. There are monitors on them. These guys are not cashing in chips in Tunica and sending the money over to a Swiss bank account. That doesn't happen.
Because one of the favorite things that the announcers are saying now is that the refs are letting them play, but then calls are made in certain directions, some calls.
Richard,
are not
do you realize
based,
that every game is reviewed by a supervisor, and these referees can be suspended for a week or for the whole season if they do not meet the standard?
Has that ever happened?
It most certainly has.
Okay, because we never hear about it.
Well, because the conferences do not want to share that information, but I know for a fact it has happened. And I'm not saying that they don't make terrible calls. They do make terrible calls, but I would also argue that they're human error. They're not maliciously done or for personal gain. We'll take a break. More to come. Final few minutes of the program.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back. Peter is in California. Hello, Peter.
Hi, Paul. How are you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Good, good. I've got something to approach with you. I'm not sure if it's a tender subject, but it's your thinly veiled disdain for Brad Nessler and Gary Danielson, who Vern Lundquist used to say called Dr. Gary Danielson.
I don't remember him calling him that, but I do remember Vern very well. So what are you asking?
Well, no, just what I'm saying. When you mention their names, it's not in glowing terms.
I think that's pretty obvious. Yeah, and
yeah, that's what.
I find them to be pretty annoying, but I've made that very clear. Now, do you like them?
Well, no, I don't find them. I don't find them annoying. It's like some people I know find Joe Buck annoying, or you know, just like what do you lay into next, Chris Economaki?
I will say this. There was a time when I did appreciate Gary and knew him quite well and thought he was very analytical. I still think he is analytical, unlike some commentators who never take a stand. He is willing to offer perspective, and I appreciate that.
Yes. Okay, agree or disagree, he's got a stand.
Yeah, I mean the guys that drive me crazy are, you got third and three, and the guy will go, man, this is a tough decision for Coach Saban. Like, no kidding.
You're the
expert. Give us your best guess. You've talked to the coaches. You know the personnel. What is their best option right there? And that's you don't have to try to predict the play. At that point, all you have to say is, listen, I think this is a great opportunity to throw it over the middle or give it to Gibbs whatever the play is, but don't say this is a really tough call for the coach.
Yes, the obvious. Also the other thing is, has anybody ever mentioned to you the possibility of having subtitles for some of your callers? Because I know there's like a game show that says, I'd like to buy a vowel. I'd like to buy a bucket of vowels for some of your callers.
Peter, here's the problem. And I don't know how it works with closed captioning. How does that work, Randy? Is there somebody somewhere doing it?
Well, my guess is it has to be done ahead of time. I'm not sure if it can be done on the fly.
Well, for a show like this, though, it can't be done ahead of time. So.
No, understood.
So there are people currently watching what we're saying. The question is, these people must be brilliant to be able to decide. Because, I have a really good seat, I have all this great equipment here, and I'm able to hear it probably better than you may be at home, or especially if you're in a car. And
yeah, I was going to say, if I'm in a car, I sometimes have to go, I just have to turn it down because I can't pay attention.
Yeah, I mean, there's a guy that hasn't called in a couple of days that calls, I don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah. And also he's got one caller that's I-Man, but to me, my daughter's name's Marley, my granddaughter's name is Marley, so to me, he should be I-Man from Jamaica. And
I like that.
Should Legend be subtitled in his own mind?
Yes, I think that would be apropos.
Okay. All right. Perfect. All right, Paul. I just want to touch bases with you. And also, I forgot to mention, you must have been very happy when you heard that the Rose Bowl put down their objections.
I was, Peter. I think that's. Again, no need to take any more shots at the Rose Bowl, but I really think that's one of the greatest moments in modern college football history, that they caved in and we now have what we need very desperately. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Mark is in Tennessee. Mark, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Mr. Paul. First time caller. Listen to your show. Every day watch it, actually.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Was sitting there, of course, earlier, you were talking about Deion Sanders. One, I'm an Auburn fan. Don't hate me for that. But Deion Sanders, I think, he's either really, really smart or something else to pick Colorado. simply because, you know, Colorado's at the bottom. You got to work your way up. Colorado's at the bottom. So there's only one way to go, and that's up. And, you know, like Georgia's at the top. You know, the only way they have is down. So I think this, you know, if he just wins a few games, he's going to look like a hero, and that's going to improve his stock immensely.
I think you're right. I mean, had he gone to Auburn and gone 7-5 next year, who would be happy about that? Where in Boulder, if he goes 7-5, he's probably Pac-12 Coach of the Year.
Yes, sir, I agree. Also, with the Auburn hiring Hugh Freeze, you know, and of course he's had a past, but you know, a lot of people fail to forget all the other, I'm going to say Tiger Woods, you know, that had that debacle and lost all his sponsors, and then he came back. There's been a lot of professional players, you know, around the, you know, the United States that have seen bad times and then they come back. So,
well, you know what? You're right about that, Mark. Americans, and I'm not proficient on the rest of the world as well. I think the rest of the world is a little bit different, but we love a comeback story. We love redemption. It's a part of the texture and tapestry of our religions. And I think if Hugh Freeze comes back from this and, you know, rises above everything that he has been accused of and has fallen for, it will be an amazing, energizing story. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.